Do people who are saved automatically go on to do good works? That and much more is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. So we're currently taking a look at what is being called the King Jesus debate. And we've been looking at one side of the debate for a few days now. But now we're going to switch sides and see what the opponents have to say. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And the last three episodes, we were discussing something called the King Jesus Gospel, which is being promoted by Matthew Bates and Scott McKnight. Basically, their central point is this, that the gospel is not about how you get saved. It's about Jesus being king and Jesus' kingdom. They are criticizing people from the Gospel Coalition and Together for the Gospel for making justification by faith central to the gospel when, in McKnight and Bates' opinion, that doesn't even appear. Jesus doesn't even teach about justification by faith apart from works. We find ourselves, Bob and I, find ourselves kind of on the sidelines here looking at this debate. In some ways, we agree with Bates and McKnight that there is something called the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
That you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially. And that justification by faith apart from works is definitely not a part of that message.
Right. It's certainly not presented in the Synoptic Gospels that way. Now, I would argue that the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, required both faith in Messiah and national repentance.
Right.
So that we could argue in a loose sense that justification by faith is in there somewhere, but it's not preached that way. I mean, we don't see the word justification.
Right.
And even the regeneration message, we don't really find in Matthew, Mark, Luke. We find that in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written to Christians to help them with discipleship. John is written to unbelievers to lead them to faith in Christ.
Right.
So part of the problem with salvation by allegiance alone, Matthew Bates and Scott McKnight, part of the problem is not only are they teaching work salvation, but they ignore the Gospel of John.
Right. And so the free grace position is a little bit different here. Yes, there is something called the gospel of the kingdom. Yes, justification is not a part of it. But don't leave out John's gospel, because Jesus said, unless you believe in him, you don't even get to see the kingdom.
John 3:3, John 3:5, you won't enter, yeah.
And so John 3:16, John 3:36, 5:24, 6:47, all these other verses all say, by simply believing in Jesus, you get everlasting life. By the way, one of the horrible, bad things where we strongly disagree with Bates and McKnight is where they redefine believing, pistis or pistuo, as bodily loyalty. What does that mean other than good works? It means you have to show that you're loyal to Jesus in your behavior. That, for him, is the condition of salvation. Well, how is that different from works? Why not just say you believe in salvation by works? We really think that they're leaving out the Gospel of John, and they're leaving out the promise of everlasting life. And also, I think they have a wrong view of the kingdom. I mean, we believe very strongly in the kingdom. We believe that the millennial kingdom's coming, and then the eternal state will follow that. And that's going to be a real kingdom. The headquarters are going to be in Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to be reigning there.
Right.
It's not something that we're already in.
Well, we haven't gotten into another thing most of these people believe, which is called replacement theology, that there is no future for Israel.
Right.
And that the kingdom is going to be for the people of God, which is going to be the church. There is no future for Israel because the church takes over the promises made to Israel. And that's a major debate all on its own. We really can't get into it other than to say, no, there is a future for Israel, and Jesus will rule from Jerusalem, and the apostles will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, and the church will be in the kingdom along with Israel, along with the nations. There'll be three separate people groups.
Right. What they're calling the King Jesus Gospel, in a way, dispensationalists have been talking about this for 150 years or so, but they're really confusing things.
Right. And they're also missing out on the fact that the emphasis on King Jesus is on rulership, which is a rewards issue. Are we going to rule with King Jesus? Well, Paul says, if we endure, we'll reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. Paul says, I discipline my body and bring into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself might be adokimos, disapproved.
Right.
And in the context, he's talking about getting the crown, the imperishable crown, which is associated with ruling with Christ. So King Jesus is rightly tied in with the idea of eternal rewards. Now, it's true, of course, He can't give anybody everlasting life if he's not the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And going along with that, since the Messiah is also king, he couldn't give anybody everlasting life if he's not king.
Right.
He also has to be divine because he couldn't give everyone everlasting life unless he was sinless, which he was. So there's a whole lot of things. But yes, this King Jesus gospel is confusing. And by the way, the people they debate, like John MacArthur, John Piper, are basically saying the same thing. And I think today we're going to look at an article by John MacArthur that's saying some of the same things that McKnight and Bates are saying.
Especially on the condition of salvation, right?
Right.
Because a weird thing about the debate is, from our perspective, even though they're debating each other, they're really fundamentally on the same side when it comes to the condition of salvation. They both believe in what some people would call lordship salvation, what you could just simply call as work salvation.
Right.
Right. They say they believe in justification by faith, but then they do what Matthew Bates and McKnight do. They redefine faith as bodily loyalty or allegiance, or basically faith is working for Jesus.
Right.
Well, let's look at an article here that you've picked out from John MacArthur. And what is the title of it?
Okay, it's from the Grace to You website, and it's based on Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the question is, what does it mean to work out your salvation? And this is an article by Dr. John MacArthur.
By the way, we would agree with MacArthur on a number of issues, and so don't take this as a total rejection of his ministry. We're just taking issue with this.
Right. I very much appreciate his conservative stance on many things, and that he has a high regard for the inerrancy of Scripture and a high regard for the Scriptures and for expository verse-by-verse preaching and for the sanctity of the family and of marriage and of life. And so there are many, many things we would agree with him on. But when he gets into this lordship salvation stuff, the train comes off the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go through this together. What kind of struck you about this?
Well, first of all, he starts out and he says, in the Olivet Discourse, that's
basically Jesus' big prophetic message.
On the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24 and Matthew 25.
And by the way, we have a booklet by Zane Hodges called Jesus, God's Prophet.
Excellent.
It's an excellent introduction to Jesus. Have you ever thought of Jesus as a prophet?
See, we don't tend to think that. I mean, we say he's prophet, priest, and king,
right?
But we don't tend to think of him as prophet. And what Hodges argues in that article or that book is that all the teachings we find later in the New Testament from Paul and Peter and John spring from the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
Well, here's what he says. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus declared, quote, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved, unquote, Matthew 24:13. Then he says, Paul and Barnabas urge new believers in Pisidia and Antioch, quote, to continue in the grace of God, unquote, Acts 13:43. And they encourage them to, quote, continue in the faith, unquote, Acts 14:22. And then MacArthur goes on to cite Romans 2:7, where Paul declared that God will give eternal life, quote, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, unquote. And he also quotes from Colossians 1:21-23, where Christ would present the Colossian believers before God the Father, quote, blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed they continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not move away from the hope of the gospel that they have heard, unquote, Colossians 1:21-23. MacArthur's citing passage after passage after passage, all of them wrongly interpreting, well, not really interpreting, just assuming that what these passages are saying is we must endure to the end to be saved. Look at, for example, Matthew 24:13. He who endures to the end, he will be saved.
So all of these passages are all emphasizing how important it is for believers to keep on going in the faith.
Right, but not in order to have everlasting life or to get into the kingdom. In Matthew 24:13, it doesn't say the one who endures to the end will prove he was saved at some point in the past.
Right.
It says he who endures to the end will be saved in the future.
And that's going to heaven when you die.
No. No, in Matthew 24:13, that is surviving the tribulation.
Ah.
Because in Matthew 24:22, it says if those days weren't cut short, not one soul or one life would be saved.
All right. Now, you're making a very important point without making it explicit. Just because you see the word saved does not mean you should automatically assume that this is eternal salvation.
Exactly, because the only two uses of the word saved in Matthew 24. Verse 13, he who endures the end will be saved, and verse 22, if those days weren't cut short, not one soul would be saved. Obviously, that doesn't mean if the tribulation weren't limited to exactly 7 years, nobody would get into the kingdom. He means there would be no humans left on earth because they would be totally destroyed. But God couldn't allow that because there has to be a future for Israel. And the same thing is true of all of these passages. In fact, maybe in the next episode we can go through some more of these. But let me just briefly comment on Paul and Barnabas in Acts. They encouraged the believers to continue in the grace of God, Acts 13:43. Well, isn't that appropriate? It doesn't say continue in the grace of God so that you may keep your salvation.
Right.
Continue in the grace of God so you can stay born again.
Right.
Continue in the grace of God so you can get, quote-unquote, final salvation.
So MacArthur shouldn't have just quoted that verse in the context of trying to prove that you need to continue in the faith to be saved.
No, because all this is saying is God wants us to continue in the faith,
right,
in the grace of God. In the other verse he quotes, he encouraged them to continue in the faith, 14:22. What these verses actually teach is the opposite of what MacArthur's saying. They teach that it's possible for us not to continue in the faith.
Right.
And not to continue in the grace of God.
And so that's what Calvinists will say. Calvinists will say, if you're truly born again, if you're truly elect, you can't help but continue in the faith. God's causing it to happen.
And that's exactly the opposite of what the Scriptures teach. In fact, these same Calvinists will say, but there's all these warnings in Scripture, and God uses these warnings to keep us in line.
Right.
Well, why give us warnings if it's absolute? Well, they don't say it's hypothetical. For example, Schreiner and Kennedy in their book, The Race Set Before Us, they say if we stop running the race and fail to persevere, we won't obtain the prize, which they call everlasting life or final salvation. So some Calvinists today are saying you've got to persevere to get final salvation. I think we're going to look in a future episode at a blog from John Piper in which he specifically says that if we don't persevere, we don't get final salvation.
Right. Well, be sure to keep on listening to Grace and Focus on your local station or go to our website, faithloan.org, where you can hear previous episodes. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, as you could tell from today's discussion, there is much more to say. So we're going to continue this series tomorrow. Join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.